Hello and welcome to our site as we close off our little series of messages on the theme of worship, the most important theme in the world, the theme of worship. I'd like to take a reading as we begin this morning from Exodus chapter 3, the first 15 verses. So if you have a Bible handy, please would you turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, the first 15 verses. Here we read, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground.' Then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' At this Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, 'I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' And God said, 'I will be with you, and this will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.' Moses said to God, 'Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, "The God of your fathers has sent me to you," and they ask me, "What is his name?" Then what shall I tell them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you.' God also said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, "The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. I will be what I will be. I am." I wonder if any of the descendants of Adam and Eve, through all the centuries or millenniums, from the Garden of Eden to Noah's flood, I wonder if any of those generations, any of those people, ever knew one or any of the names of God. It's only when we get to the story of Abraham and his descendants that we have a revelation, an unveiling of the names of God. The psalmist exhorts us to ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. The third commandment says, "Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Psalm 29, "Let us exalt his name together. Praise be his glorious name." Psalm 34, verse 4. Psalm 72, verse 18, "Praise his holy name." Psalm 145 and verse 2, "I will praise you and extol your name forever." Well, God's names are so important then, because they are a revelation, an unveiling of his nature, his character, his being, who he is and what he does. As you know, in Bible times, a person was named not simply to avoid confusing him or her with another person, or because they just liked that name, but names were chosen to express the kind of person the parents wanted him or her to become. The name was just not a means of identification, but in hope the name was given as what the parents hoped would be a description of that person, or an occasion where the circumstances surrounding the birth of that person would not lose its significance. Now, the name or names of God stand for his manifold nature. They tell us who he is and what he is like. They are, in a sense, an extension of God himself. He is what his names declare him to be. The names of God help us to know him. They help us to know about him. They help us to know his dealings with us, his provision for us. In his names, his character is revealed. In his names, we come to know him better. In his names, we know the true riches of our true identity as children of God. In his names, we understand better the nature of our redemption, his amazing holiness and grace, his mercy and kindness, his righteousness and purity, all that he is, his names reveal. At the same time, of course, they reveal our needs and the difference between God and us. And so we know what to expect from the Lord in a relationship with him because of the names that he has given in Holy Scripture. If we're enjoined to praise his name together, then a knowledge of his names will help us to keep on target in our worship experience. He is the who that we worship. And that's the title of our message this morning, the who of worship, a better understanding of God himself. An understanding of his names then will enlarge and enrich our worship. So let's take a look at a dozen or more of them. And if you've never studied the names of God before, dear listener, I hope that this message this morning will be such an enriching, enjoyable meditation for you. The first name of God, or name for God, that we come across in the Bible is Elohim. Elohim is the Hebrew word used for God 32 times in the first chapter of Genesis, the book of beginnings, in the beginning God, Elohim. And it's used over 2,700 times in the Bible. The Hebrew derivation El means one who is great, mighty, dreadful. The name Elohim is plural. The im at the end indicates plural, like cherub or cherubim or seraph or seraphim. That means plural. That can denote fullness and completeness too. It can also accommodate the fact progressively revealed in Holy Scripture that God is a triune being, a trinity of persons, that he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit from all eternity. Three persons in one, co-equal in essence, character, being. Praise to the blessed three in one, mighty and glorious Elohim, our Creator God. The next name we praise and worship is El Shaddai. Genesis 17 verse 1, when God initiates the covenant with Abraham, he says, I am El Shaddai. The word Shaddai occurs 48 times in the Old Testament. It's always translated Almighty. He is the omnipotent one, the all-powerful one who has all authority to create, to make, and the power to keep his covenants with men. He alone is God. He is El Shaddai, the Almighty God with whom all things are possible. Praise be to El Shaddai. Then we have the name El Elyon, the God who is sovereign, in control, the God most high. El Roi, the God who sees me. And then the next Hebrew word for God in the Old Testament is Adonai, a name for God used 300 times in the Old Testament, nearly always in the plural. The name refers primarily to God's ownership and rulership of everything that is. It expresses his lordship. If we know him as Adonai, our lives would be sold out to him, and we would capitulate in submissive service to the Most High God, who is Lord of all. It's the name that the prophet Isaiah used when he described in chapter 6 of his prophecy how he saw the Lord, high and lifted up, his glory filling the temple. Indeed, he saw that heaven and earth were full of the glory of Adonai. And the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Praise be to Adonai, the one who alone is Lord. Now, the most frequently used designation of God in the Bible is Yahweh, or Jehovah. That's used nearly 7,000 times in the Bible. It's derived from the verb to be, or of being, translated to be. In Exodus chapter 3 that I read to you earlier, when Moses asked God what name he should use when addressing the Israelites with a message that God had sent him to lead them out of Egypt, God said, "I am," or "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites: "I am has sent me to you." That is the essence of the name Yahweh, Jehovah. He is the ever-living, unchanging, self-existent, and self-sufficient one, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The I am who will be, what he is, who he is, forever and ever. And with this name, we come to the heart of our study on the names of God. The compound names of Yahweh, Jehovah, reveal to us the manner in which his covenant deals with his children. This covenant God deals with his covenant children in a way that is only fully understood when we fully understand his names given to us in the Bible. When we understand them, they help us to praise him more adequately, to worship him more meaningfully, with reverence and awe, the kind of worship that is acceptable, the true worship that we have been expounding over the last 4 or 5 Sundays. So let's look at them in order in which they appear in the Old Testament. The first, then, is Jehovah Jireh, or Yahweh Jireh. We find this assuring name in Genesis 22, verse 14. The setting is Mount Moriah. The occasion is God's command to Abram to sacrifice his only son Isaac, the greatest test any human being ever faced, not just because Isaac was Abraham's son, but because Isaac was the one whom God had predestined to give Abram and his descendants untold blessing. The blessings of Abram's seed and the future of God's promises depended on Isaac, and now God was demanding that he be sacrificed. But God spared Isaac and provided a ram as a substitute. And Abram called the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The name describes God as the one who sees to everything beforehand, the great provider. What a blessing that name has been to me and to my wife and to our family, all through all the years of our ministry. As we look back this morning, as a couple, Elaine and I look back over 55 years of ministry and see that through all the situations God has led us through the decades, Jehovah Jireh has been with us, the Lord our provider. We cannot ever have a need that is not already in God's mind and already met. Praise Jehovah Jireh. And then the compound name Jehovah Rapha. For the next, we then turn to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Unlike the name Jehovah Jireh, which was given by Abraham, this one was given by God himself. The word Rapha in the Hebrew means to restore or heal or cure. Rapha or Rafika, the Lord himself is the one who makes us whole. Praise Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. The healer of our spirit, our mind, our emotions, our bodies, the one with whom all things are possible, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, praise his name. And then Jehovah Nissi. Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16, the story of Moses and the Amalekites, the battle against the enemy, the Amalekites, and Jehovah Nissi is the name that is revealed here, meaning that Yahweh, Jehovah, is our standard, our banner. Moses was saying, the Lord is my banner of identity. He is my flag of victory. Friend, are you going through a tough battle at the moment? Then praise Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Lift up your hands to the throne of God as Moses did. Never be ashamed or too proud or too self-conscious or too self-absorbed to cry out to Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner of victory in our deepest struggles. He's the victor, and his presence will guarantee you victory. Makes us more than conquerors. And then the word Yahweh Kadesh, or Jehovah Kadesh. Now we turn to Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 7. And we get this word, this compound word for Yahweh. God is commanding holiness. And with wonderful assurance, for mere human beings, he says, I am the Lord who makes you holy. He is Yahweh Kadesh. Just as he is our healing, so he himself is our holiness. He is the one who sets us apart for divine use, makes us holy, saints. He consecrates us to himself and in his service. We're able to worship and praise this holy God this morning, and indeed every day and every night, because he has made atonement for our sins and put his Holy Spirit within us. And so we say, praise be to Yahweh Kadesh, the Lord who makes us holy. And then on to the book of Judges, chapter 6 and verse 22, where Gideon builds an altar and he calls it Jehovah Shalom. Do you remember the incident? The Midianite hordes were impoverishing the Israelites by their continual raids. And the Israelites cried out to the Lord. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. He was threshing his wheat in a wine press. And the Lord, as the angel of the Lord, appeared to him saying, Hail, mighty man of valor. Gideon felt himself to be anything but that. Gideon was terrified. But the Lord said, Peace, don't be afraid. You're not going to die. And so Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. In time of war, Gideon found that God not only gave peace, he was peace. He himself is our peace. Praise Yahweh Shalom. He gives us full and complete peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And then we come to another name that a little bit similar to the one we had before, but a slight difference here, Jehovah Roi. The Lord is our shepherd, perhaps the most tender and intimate of all his names in the Bible. The Lord our shepherd, Jehovah Roi. All that a good shepherd is, God is to his people. As David the psalmist so beautifully explains, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Why, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Your goodness and mercy flank me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise be to Yahweh Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. His guidance is so perfect, we have no want. We're made to lie down in green pastures. We're led by waters that are still and untroubled. Our souls are restored, and we are led in righteous paths. We walk through death's dark valley without fear. We are comforted by his rod and staff. Our enemies glare as we sit at laden tables. Our heads are anointed and our cups run over. We are flanked by goodness and love all the days of our lives, and the house of the Lord is our eternal home. All this because he is Yahweh Roi. Praise his name. The background to the name, the next name, Jehovah Tzidkenu, is found in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 23. The nation of Judah was hastening towards its fall. Oppression and violence were everywhere. The people had been misinformed by the false prophets and misled by false shepherds. But God told of a better day in Jeremiah 23, verses 3 to 5. In that day, a day when Messiah would come in David's line, Judah would be saved and Israel live in safety. And God would be called Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. All our efforts at righteousness are like filthy rags, but praise Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord himself, in Jesus, becomes our righteousness. If the devil bothers you on the question of your righteousness, tell him he's wasting his time. You're not depending on your own righteousness. The Lord is your righteousness, the one who is Yahweh Tzidkenu. And the devil will soon leave you alone because the Lord's righteousness is more than the devil can handle. Praise Yahweh Tzidkenu. Finally, Jehovah Shammah. Right at the very end of Ezekiel's prophecy, there's a reminder of God's presence. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. God would return to his temple one day. The name of the city would be Jehovah Shammah. So whatever the situation, whatever you need, we have a name through which we can praise the Lord meaningfully and intelligently because of what is revealed of God in his names. Dr. Jack Taylor reminds us that his character is revealed through his names. God reveals our need through his names. The nature of our redemption is shown by his names. We can know what to expect of life through his names. We can come to know God better through his names. We can come to know the riches of our true identity through the names of God our Father. And we can praise the names of God that will bring to light the particular characteristic of God as we worship and pray. So I challenge you, if you've never done that, put that to the test from now on. Are you in need? Physical need, financial need, material need, whatever it is, emotional need? Is the cupboard bare? Then praise Jehovah Jireh, who will never forsake the righteous or see his seed begging bread. Are you sick in mind or in body this morning? Then praise Jehovah Rapha, and let him manifest himself to you in healing grace. Is the battle fierce against some temptation or trial? Is the enemy breaking through? Then praise Jehovah Nissi, our banner of victory, our sign of triumph. Are you anxious and disturbed, distraught over your circumstances? Then begin to praise Jehovah Shalom and worship him until his peace floods your heart. Whatever you need, God has a name in which to meet that need. And it's all summed up in closing, it's all summed up in the beautiful name of Jesus. It's all summed up and comes together in the beautiful name of Jesus. All through the message, I've resisted the temptation to relate these names to Yeshua, to Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Yet the whole message has been about Jesus, really. In him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He is revealed to us in the gospel, according to John, as the great I am. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who believes in me will never hunger. He who follows me will never thirst again. Is this not Jehovah Jireh? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. Is this not Jehovah Roi? I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine, said Jesus. All the I ams, these statements of Jesus, in John's Gospel show who he is, eternally Yahweh, the great I Am. God the Son from all eternity, God in Christ, is our provider. So Paul says in Philippians 4:19, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Is he healer? Oh, yes, he is. Jesus went about healing every disease and sickness among the people. Matthew 4:23. Is he our banner? Yes, thanks be to God. Jesus is our banner of victory. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in the triumphant procession of the Lord Jesus, says Paul to the Corinthians. Is he Jehovah Kadesh, our holiness? Oh, yes, he is. 1 Corinthians 1:30. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. Ephesians 1:14. He is our peace. John 14:11. He is our shepherd. 1 Corinthians 1:30. He is our righteousness. Matthew 28:20, he is our presence. As we go into all the world to make disciples, he says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So get this morning, as we close, all that God is, he is in his names. And all that he is in his names, he is in Christ. And all that he is in Christ, he is to us and in us. I want to say it again. All that God is revealed in his names. And all that he is in his names, he is in Christ. And all that he is in Christ, he is to us and in us, moment by moment. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are the ones in whom he dwells by his Spirit, so that we can worship meaningfully and acceptably. God bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your names given to us in Holy Scripture. Thank you for all that is revealed in your names, and we thank you that it all comes to fulfillment and fruition in Jesus, Yeshua, the eternal Son of God, who took upon himself our humanity, revealed the Father to us, died and rose again for our salvation, and is alive forevermore as our mediator, understanding and sympathetic high priest, the one who lives to intercede for us. So thank you, God, that you've revealed yourself to us fully and finally in Jesus, made yourself fully known. He is the exact representation of the eternal God. And so thank you, Father, that we can rejoice in all that you are, and praise your holy name forever and ever. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Amen.
Who else commands all the host of heaven? Who else can make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness tremble? Only your holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God. What other beauty demands such praises? What other splendor outshines the sun? What other majesty rules with justice? Only a holy God.
Who else invites me to call him Father? Only a holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy forever.